This is On the Other Hand. A podcast sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with civic leaders and community leaders. Stay with us as we talk to another leader in Arkansas who works across differences to get things done and to bring us closer together.
Well, in the first part of our conversation with Janet Harris, we learned several fascinating things about the work they do at the Rockefeller Institute. So we're going to get to the second part of the conversation we had with Janet now.
So one of the key initiatives, you've mentioned this a couple of times in our interview so far, is that Civic Arkansas Project. I'm curious, for those people who don't know what this is, kind of the what led up to that project and how you all became involved.
Well, I'll start by talking about civic engagement broadly and what it isn't, because I think a lot of people hear the words civic health, civic engagement, and they think that we mean voting and voter registration. And we do. That is a small component of it, but that is not the full spectrum of citizen participation that we're working on through Civic Arkansas. It's about much more than just whether people register to vote and vote, although those two things are very important too. Civic Arkansas started with an initiative to measure the civic health of our state. And civic health, again, is, yes, it's about direct political participation. It's also about indirect political participation. How easily do we talk to one another about politics? How often do we get together with other members of our community to cooperate and solve a problem? How much do we donate to charitable causes? How much do we volunteer? How much do we trust institutions to serve us? So all of those questions are metrics that the National Conference on Citizenship uses to assess the civic health of any particular state or jurisdiction. Arkansas, up until 2023, had never had an Arkansas Civic Health Index that measured our civic health across all of those metrics. And so the Institute partnered with the Clinton School of Public Service and Engage Arkansas to put together Arkansas' first ever Civic Health Index report. And that was launched in December of 2023. So we have a baseline now for where we do well and where we need to do some focused work. And Civic Arkansas is the Institute's program to begin examining that, not just from the perspective of academicians and public engagement professionals, although that's where we start, but we are also going into community to listen to people in Arkansas, regular Arkansans who we want to know, what stops you from direct political participation? What stands in the way? How comfortable do you feel talking to your neighbors about politics? And how could we help you with that? Not just the Institute, but all of us, Braver Angels, everyone who is in this this sphere of public engagement. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, in the hopes that for us and the Institute, we want every citizen to be informed, to be thoughtfully concerned, and to participate in the search for solutions. And that is where we're anchored in this program, because that was what Winthrop Rockefeller charged us to do when he left office about 50 years ago, and it still holds true today.
So, wow, that's the outcomes there that you're interested in, and the intentionality of the work is something that's very aspirational. I think about, you know, even in the best of times, but with our competing interests in our communities, the labeling and of others as enemies, it's so much more difficult these days. It seems like, and maybe the media makes it seem like we are more divided than we actually are. Sometimes I do wonder about that. You have, though, worked with so many different groups as you've been talking to us, and I wonder, it sounds like you have more hope than maybe what we are being shown in the national level in terms of actually being able to improve the civic engagement, both that indirect and the direct in Arkansas. So tell us a little bit more about those plans that you hope will come out of that for improving individual Arkansan civic health, but also community civic health?
Well, one of the reasons I have hope is because I have watched structured, intentional conversation build new initiatives, heal divides, foster better relationships. And I've seen it on a one-to-one basis here at the Institute. I know it can happen. And I'm sure you all, in facilitating conversations with braver angels, have seen healing and restoration. The hope. Because I think humanity wants that. Excuse me. We all want to have connection to one another. I mean, fundamentally. And although the polarization is there and it's something that we have to work through and try to understand, I believe that most people want generally to understand that. And they want to understand how to have a better conversation. And that, you know, I could be idealistic, and if I am, I'm not going to stop. Because if we don't have hope, then we're just becoming a victim of our circumstance. And I do not believe that that is what Arkansans are made of, and I don't believe that's what people in general are made of. I think a lot of times, April, you're right, there's a media, and not necessarily just, you know, it's not traditional media, the social media, look, it sells for people to fight. And what doesn't sound maybe as interesting is watching two people really wrangle with how each of them came to their views on abortion or gun rights or any of these other things that tend to divide us. But that's where the beauty of humanity is in wrestling with all of that nuance and complexity. And so this program in Civic Arkansas, and really our vision for the Rockefeller ethic in the world, is very aspirational because it requires individual behavior from all of us and a set of values and intentionality we want to give people tools to cultivate. And, you know, it's not easy, but also, you know, we hear people all the time complain about polarization, complain about the tone and tenor of our politics. Arkansas's motto is the people rule. So if we want to change that, it's up to us to do it. And so that's where my hope is. And I see people, I think when you distill the party platforms, you pull people out of, you know, their traditional environments where they're in a safe space to be able, and it's structured and they have facilitators there that can help them have conversations. I've seen that work over and over. And so I know that it can, and I believe it's something we need to do more of.
Some of our listeners might actually be asking themselves right now, well, gosh, this sounds wonderful. And actually, I am one of those persons who believes in that connection and would love to get more involved. So what would you recommend in terms of, you know, individuals or groups in terms of how they could help with this effort?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to start with individual and then move kind of up to more organized participation. So for individual, the first thing I would ask is that if you are interested in Civic Arkansas and being a part of how we champion these values and we increase our civic health in the state, you can visit our website at rockefellerinstitute.org/Civic Arkansas, and you can see Civic Arkansas under our programs. There's a form to sign up if you are interested in knowing about listening sessions. We are going to hold listening sessions in various places across the state just to hear from people, because I have my own views about civic engagement, and you all probably do, and a lot of the experts who are working on this do, but we really want to hear from people in community. What does being informed look like today? What does being thoughtfully concerned look like? What stands in the way? What participating in the search for solutions? Do you feel like you can do that? We want to understand how we can start to break some of those barriers down and increase everyone's agency. So if you're interested in knowing, keeping up with Civic Arkansas, fill out that form. You can even give us the region of the state where you are so we know to contact you if we're having a listening session in your area. So that would be number one. The second thing that you do as an individual is to just give yourself a little bit of a challenge to seek out someone whom you are sure you disagree. And take a moment to just be curious, suspend your judgment, ask them questions, be interested in them, truly interested in them, really interested in why they arrived at their viewpoint, and just sit in the curiosity. Don't try to change their mind. Don't, you know, they're not necessarily going to change your mind, but just sit in the curiosity because that's where the learning happens. And if we are brave enough to do that with each other, then we can start doing it with people that we don't know maybe as well. So that's kind of a couple of individual things. Certainly, if you are curious about how to increase your own civic engagement beyond just voting, I'd say if you're not registered to vote, go register. If you are, go vote. If you go vote and you want to help a candidate or an issue, get involved. You'll learn a whole lot about the systems and the institutions that we need to improve by getting involved in those things. You can also go volunteer. So if you find in your community, if you're particularly concerned about homelessness, for example, who are the agencies that in your community that struggle with that and can help you understand where the problems are and where the need is? So volunteering is, I know any nonprofit that if you approach them would say, no, we don't need any volunteers. So, you know, just care, get involved. So that's kind of a few things from an individual standpoint. Organizationally, if you're an organization that's doing work like Braver Angels or the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute or any number of folks that, you know, you're concerned about bolstering civic engagement in your community, contact us. You can do that through the website. And there are opportunities to host your own listening sessions, to partner with us on initiatives that will come out of Civic Arkansas that may help Arkansans be better informed and all of those things. So I would say just, you know, let us know if you're interested in partnering, hosting a listening session, or otherwise attending a Civic Arkansas event.
Well, it sounds like wonderful opportunities. And I think about there are so many bridge building organizations out there too. People don't have to start with not, you know, if they're like, I don't have a clue what I would even start with a question about to talk to my neighbor who might have a political sign in their yard that might be different than mine. But there are, I think about Braver Angels, the one-to-one conversation guides that we have on the braverangels.org website, just as an example. If you want to have a group of people around, there's a group called Living Room Conversations that actually has guides about how to talk about different topics that people can look up. So lots of good resources out there for doing that. So I really appreciate you providing that information for our listeners.
I would also suggest another possibility is at least through October, we're doing a monthly civil conversation series here in Little Rock at the Fletcher Library from 6:30 to 7:45. And so at those events, we have people come in willing to talk with civility to each other. And we encourage people of varying views to come in and have that kind of conversation. We provide some skills to use to have those conversations, and then we moderate it so that it turns out, you know, we don't go into the ditch, as it were. And so far, it's gone really well. So that's another thing we could do for those who are in the Little Rock area or interested in that. But I want to kind of move to a little something. This issue I have now, Janet, may actually be, I don't know if it's the most appropriate thing for the Rockefeller Institute. So I'm going to ask it and see what you think. We were just talking about the influence of media before. There's certainly a lot of still good journalism being practiced out there, but some not so much. And then we have the whole issue of social media. We've got AI. We've got clear efforts nationally and internationally within the state for misinformation and disinformation that's making it harder for the average citizen to know what's going on and what's important and how to solve something. Now, from what I have understood about the research from the experts about dealing with this disinformation problem is that, you know, we really need to undergo a really drastic effort to educate the citizenry on media literacy, you know, teaching people that there's some other things about, you know, educate them how to evaluate information up front so they're less vulnerable to being misled into things that aren't helpful for our society and are actually contrary to reality. So I'm wondering if you see any potential for future work of that type within the Institute, whether it be, you know, something you guys would initiate or you'd be looking for some state group that wants to initiate that. How might that work? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I wish I had an answer for that. And I don't. I think the thing that we have to do as professionals in this space is to be asking good questions about how to address it. You know, media literacy is certainly one big component. And I think especially for young people, but it really applies to all of us. You know, how do we determine that the information that we are receiving is factual? And then, you know, you have the whole issue of what is people disagreeing over facts, you know? So I think that it's a much bigger problem than one blunt instrument could solve. I do think that the press has a role to play in thinking about this, because models for journalism are shifting so rapidly, as we know, with local newspapers. In fact, one of the findings of the Arkansas Civic Health Index report is that a good number of Arkansans live in media deserts, news deserts. So they may only have one local newspaper in the whole county. And so how do you, because we all believe, at least here at the Institute, I think we have to start locally with our engagement in community and with each other. How do you make sure that there is a connection to what's happening in your local government, in your local community, with your news sources? Question about how journalism and media organizations respond to that shifting environment is one I hope we can explore through Civic Arkansas. So that's one thing. We have also heard, you know, quite a bit just in talking with our initial group in Civic Arkansas, initial convening we had, about just civic education more broadly. I think that is goes hand in hand with the media piece, but how do people understand government and the services that it provides, how it works, what your role as a citizen is? Those are things that we don't teach in the same way that we used to in schools. And in some cases, there is not much emphasis on it at all. So we shouldn't be surprised then that people are informed sometimes. And so I think looking at the information, you know, from all different perspectives, how do we receive information? Where do we go to find out what we need to know? All very important. Arkansas, another initiative that's around media, is going to have to do with transparency of government. So how do I understand how my city council is budgeting for the year, and what are their priorities, and, you know, what is my role in that? And so getting people to seek out forms of information that are trusted and verifiable is going to be, I think, a part of whatever comes out of recommendations, initiatives, new programs of Civic Arkansas, because it's a huge component.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it may be addressed that way, because Civic Arkansas does include a lot of people from the various levels of society and the different, you know, functions. So I think, you know, something like that would require a buy-in from a variety of groups. Mm-hmm. So I really hope that happens. I think that's a critical part of what we, it's one of those wicked problems we have to solve currently in our culture, the way things have developed technologically with information, you know, these days. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, moving on, before we run out of time, I would just wonder if you have any thoughts about where you see Arkansas going in terms of its politics these days, where the future might take us. I know you probably try to keep a middle of the road, a neutral stance, but, you know, you've been exposed to a lot of people with a lot of different ideas. Where do you see things headed for our state?
What an easy question, Glenn.
It's a wicked question.
It's a wicked question. You know, I there's, you know, my own personal viewpoint, and then there's from where I sit, and I'm going to talk about from where I sit at this point. I think it's more useful. I mean, first of all, well, let me go back to the personal viewpoint for a minute. I think the tone and tenor of our politics changed. Over over politics has never been perfect. Let's just all say that right now. And the political discourse and the political system has never been perfect. I mean, even in the best of times when we felt like our government, we had high trust in our government. And, you know, you see now that people don't, especially at the congressional level. That's what the surveys say, you know. It's never been perfect, but the tone and tenor has changed. The polarization has changed that. The tribalism that we kind of all feel, the us versus them. I see Arkansas generally not that much different than a lot of other places that we're unfortunately succumbing to the nationalization of politics in our state. So what is happening now, it feels like, at least in some areas, is that we're taking the national sort of dialogue and platform. We're extending it down, you know, all the way to the local level. And I think we have to stop doing that, you know, and to the extent that we can think about solving our problems locally, working together locally. There's a mayor in Arkansas, and probably all of the mayors in Arkansas, but the one I heard say this, said, you know, potholes don't have a party. You know, you got to fix a pothole. Doesn't matter if you have Republicans or Democrats or independents in your community. So I think starting with, you know, solving our problems in that way at a local level, thinking about how we work together on a local level and trying to at least give national politics kind of its own bubble without it infecting our discourse is something I would like to see happen. I don't know if we are going to see that shift. I do think it's up to the generation coming up, the generations coming up, to start thinking about, if you don't believe in institutions and you don't like the way they're operating, then what are you going to do to change it? You know, and so that we have yet to see the outcome, right? So I think getting away from nationalization needs to be something we think about. That's where I see us headed. The other thing that I think is interesting is how people think about political parties and their choice in an election. I heard a lot from especially young people that they don't think that their vote matters, and they don't think that it makes any difference if they participate in an election. Or in this year, I mean, let's just be honest, we're hearing a lot of people say, I don't like either candidate, right? Again, these issues can't be distilled into easily red and blue, one or the other. It's a nuanced conversation that we need to be having with each other. So if we can, you know, take a step back from that and start to understand that the best thing for us to do is to wrestle with the nuance and wrestle with the complex and demand that we have better from our elected representatives, then that's what we need to do. I don't really know what the future holds for the state in that regard, but I also have hope that we are, again, small, close-knit, and Arkansas cares about Arkansas. That part I do know, and that we care about our communities and our state. So let's lean into the positive stuff, you know, so that we can change the things that are more negative.
So it sounds good on paper. I just don't know how I do that as an individual sometimes. And yeah. I think young people, you know, as I see them in my classes, don't know how to do that either. So are there a couple of action items that we might could consider as we're trying to lean in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say one of the things, and I'm thinking about young people in particular. I have a daughter who's a teenager and, you know, coming up, she'll be voting in a few years. There are a number of resources that are available to any of us who want to better understand the issues on the ballot, the issues that candidates support as they are running for office. There are any number of offices that are available to run for. So if you are interested in making a difference in your community, think about a quorum court race. Think about a school board race. Think about running for city council, like all of those ways in which you can step up to do something about the dysfunction that you see or feel is one thing you can do. I don't say that there's a lot of, and this goes back to the media, something that I could encourage people to do, and I try to do on my own, is challenge your own viewpoints. Read different sides of an issue. There are a couple of organizations out there. One of them is called allsides.org. I don't know if you all are familiar with that. But, yep. I mean, it really, you can go on All Sides and kind of look at news stories. And these are from news organizations, you know, across the country. Look at them from different viewpoints, you know, both more conservative and liberal and one that's in the middle. So challenge yourself to go out and start thinking like that. You know, again, April, I agree with you. It's really hard to, when you talk about the aspiration of a community and large scale change, it isn't on an individual basis, but that's what we have the responsibility as citizens to do. I mean, no one's going to do it for us. And so if we can't take the step to go out and learn and ask someone. That's the other thing. If you don't know where to find information about your city government or your the nonprofits in your community that are working to solve a problem that you care about, ask somebody that you see working on it. You know, get curious and get involved. That's probably the only real marketable thing I can tell you at this point, you know, but raising awareness about all of those avenues is part of what we want to do with Civic Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they can go to the Rockefeller.org /Civic Arkansas to sign up for that if they want to. And I was thinking about it even as you were talking, you know, that's one of the reasons why I joined and started volunteering with Braver Angels is I felt helpless. I felt like, what can I do as one individual? And can I actually combine efforts with groups that are already trying to make a difference? So there are many groups like that that people can get involved with. Well, we're going to finish up with something a bit lighter. And I wanted to know if there was a story about something interesting, funny, or otherwise remarkable that you recall during your career that you would like to share with us.
I don't know if it's much lighter, but there is something interesting I wanted to share, and it relates to what we've been talking about. And that is Winthrop Rockefeller, when he moved to Arkansas in 1953 and he began to build the cattle farm here on the mountain, would eventually run, you know, for governor of Arkansas as the first Republican governor since Reconstruction. When he was elected in 1966 and took office in 1967, it had been almost 100 years, a little over 100 years, actually, since a Republican governor had been elected in Arkansas. What most people don't know is that Winthrop Rockefeller said if he had come to Arkansas and it had been controlled by a one-party system that was a Republican party, he would have run as a Democrat. And the reason that I say that, I think it's important to understand why he ran. Yes, he was a Republican, but he also recognized that people need a choice. When you have a system, whatever it is, that is controlled by one voice, and in the time of Winthrop Rockefeller, that voice was Orville Faubus of the Democratic Party. When you have decisions controlled by one voice, you're not inclusive, and citizens don't have an opportunity to choose, then they become apathetic and they feel as though they don't have any agency. And he wanted to give people a choice. And that's why he decided to run. He did not come here wanting to run for office. And that's a misconception a lot of people have. They think Winthrop Rockefeller moved to Arkansas because he thought it would be easy to be elected governor from this state. But that was not the case, and that was not the truth. The case was that he wanted people to have a choice. So I think that's really interesting. And it should cause us to think about, how do we provide choices to people? And how do we make good choices ourselves in who is governing us, what kinds of policy positions that we want to support, what organizations do we want to volunteer for? It all goes back to agency. The power is within each one of us to do that because we care, and to reach out across those divides towards other people who care just as much as we do. So I don't know if that's lighter or not, but I thought that was interesting.
I love that fun fact.
Now, if you want something a little bit lighter and exceedingly interesting, working on Pettigean Mountain is quite an experience. I drive about 4 or 5 minutes one way every day to come up here from Conway. And I love the drive because it's beautiful and there's no traffic. And I see cat, unless they're having a cattle drive, and then I have to stop and let the cows go. But a few weeks ago, there were two bald eagles who were fighting in the air and spiraled to the ground and hit the ground in some near a house that we maintain here on the Institute property. And our maintenance team and our safety coordinator, quick thing as they are, called a local resident of Petit Jean Mountain, who's a falconer, has his license to rehabilitate birds in the wild. And they came and managed to sort of untangle the eagles. And the one of them flew away, and the other one is currently being rehabilitated. He had an arterial bleed that had to be treated with antibiotics and so forth. And so he's doing very well, and he's going to be released here in another week or so. That's just the sort of thing that happens occasionally around here. And it was really interesting. I did not know that that happens to eagles occasionally, and especially during the mating season, but it does. And we were really fortunate that we were here and our folks were here to see that. So I told our safety coordinator, you saved the lives of not one, but two bald eagles. Like, who gets to say that? So, and lots of fun stories.
Janet, what a picture of the work that you're doing. Also, it's really a metaphorical of the picture that you're doing for our state and also that impacts our nation, where we've got fighting that can lead to destruction. It might not have started out thinking that it was going to lead to destruction, but then someone sees the need and then calls in some experts to help them and then works to say both lives are important, and we're going to rehabilitate, let one of them free. That, to me, that's representing of everything we've talked about today. So thank you for sharing that wonderful story. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Just the encouragement to get curious, get involved. Braver Angels does a wonderful job of hosting conversations and giving you tools to learn how to have difficult conversations. The Institute can do that too. When you visit our website, we have workshops on tools for respectful dialogue and beyond civility. Both of them are designed to help you have better conversations. And again, it doesn't have to just be in your community as a community leader. It can be within your organization. It can even be within your family, because let's face it, we have to have better conversations even with the people that we love, who we see the world differently from. So thank you for giving me a chance to visit with the two of you. It's been fun. And I hope that there'll be a lot more conversations about Civic Arkansas and civic health and healing in our state.
Well, thank you, Janet. This has been wonderful. I've taken a whole page of notes, and I hope that our listeners will listen to both episodes of this wonderful conversation we've had. Glenn, you want to say anything to end up here?
Yeah, just I wanted to thank you as well, Janet. Really appreciate the work you and the others are doing at the Rockefeller Institute. It's great work. And based on the meeting we had with Civic Arkansas recently, several of us are interested in that. We want to continue to work with you. We're working in the same direction, and we invite a lot of other people to join us. So please do. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the second part of today's conversation with Janet Harris from the Winthrop Rockefeller Center. Be sure to check out the first part of this two-part conversation with Janet, as well as other podcast episodes of On the Other Hand, on the podcast page of the Braver Angels Arkansas website. And that's found at arkansas.braverangels.org or on many popular podcast sites.
Yeah, and April, when you get to that website, you can find links to all our episodes. You also find a link where people can email us at otherhandar@gmail.com if they have feedback on our programs or suggested speakers or topics. You'll find also many other episodes that feature past guests that we think you'll want to hear, and I want to highlight one in particular. I suggest you check out our conversation with Dr. Rebecca Glazier. She's a political scientist at UA Little Rock, and she shares some of her insights about what we know about politics and then how she teaches her students those lessons.
On the other hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, Glenn White.
And April Chatham Carpenter.
Let's each do our part to bring our community closer together.